Okay, if y'all will turn to Isaiah 55, I want to do something here this morning that I don't know, I may not do it properly. I don't know, you just bear with me here today. I know some things that, and I want to read this before I go to what we're going to do. In Isaiah 55, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we can assemble here and to study your word and to fellowship around it. And Lord, we pray for those that are here, and we pray for those that cannot be here for various reasons. And Lord, we especially remember those that are sick. We ask you to be with these people, to comfort them, and be with the nurses and doctors that will be taking care of these people, that you give them the knowledge and the skill that they need. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your Spirit, to build us up in the faith and let us see the things that you have for us. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And how true that is when we look around what we do in our flesh. And this will show up after a while. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, most of our thoughts are continually on the earthly things, aren't they? What you going to eat for dinner? What you going to do here? All this kind of stuff, you see. God don't worry about this kind of stuff. You know why? This stuff is temporal. It's not eternal. It's temporal. It's going to pass away. Even this earth, we're worried about the being green in this earth, and there's nothing wrong with taking care of the earth, which I believe you can go to the extremes with anything. So God don't worry about this earth because he knows he's got to make a new one someday. He already knows it. Now, verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Well, watch what he said. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Now, you know, it might be that God sends a word out from somebody, and whatever that word is, it's going to accomplish what God wanted it to do in that situation. You understand? Now, go with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And you can find that in Psalms 69, and I suspect that Jesus Christ is talking about the reproaches that fell on him were our reproaches. And I suspect you can find that from Genesis back here in the beginning all the way to Revelation over here on the other side at the end of this situation. And God knows everything from here to there. It's eternity time past, eternity future. Jesus Christ was eternity. He gave up his eternity. He came down here as a man and took our sins, and he died at Calvary for our sins. He took our reproach, and it was put on him. You understand? Now watch what he says here. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. And you remember in his prayer, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup, and I'm going to say this cup. What is the cup? It's the wrath of Almighty God that was poured out on Jesus Christ at Calvary for all mankind. Why? because our reproach was put on him. Somebody's got to die for our sins. And if you die for your own sins, you're going to bust hell wide open. So Jesus Christ died for our sin and sins. All of it's took care of at Calvary. Our reproach was put on him. Now watch what he says. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Well, is there hope from Genesis to Revelation for all saints? Is it? Well, certainly there are. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Y'all know the verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, that's from Genesis to Revelation, in between, at the beginning, and at the end. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Well, doctrine is just what is taught. You understand? So back here, doctrine is being taught. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that doctrine is being taught. Acts, doctrine is being taught. Romans to Philemon, doctrine is being taught. Hebrews through Revelation, doctrine is being taught. Now, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, rightly divide the word of truth. He's not telling you to divide the Bible. He's telling you to divide the gospel that was committed to him. You understand? So he's got two dispensations. Those who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of our salvation was hid in the gospel of those who first trusted in Christ, and it's called a mystery, and nobody knew anything about it until Acts 18, when it was revealed to Paul in the temple, and he didn't tell anybody till Acts 22, and from Acts 22 to the end of his life, he was a prisoner for us Gentiles, you understand? Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And I suspect you can find in 2 Corinthians the reproof. You understand? Now we're going to go back in just a minute. Now I want to show you why I'm doing what I'm doing this morning. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, reason, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good what?
Works.
Now we don't work for our salvation. Our salvation is complete. Romans 5 is very clear. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. While we were yet ungodly, Christ died for us. Were you ungodly? Well, I still is. And I know that's bad language. I'll get in trouble about that when I get home. But anyway, you understood what I meant, didn't you? I still am. Like Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. Not was, I am. Still is saved. So, with all of this in mind, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I don't think we sometimes as grace preachers really believe some of these things. I know we don't touch on them very often. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. I'm going to show you why he's writing this in just a minute. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Y'all ever heard an angel speak? Do you know what angels speak? If an angel spoke to you, what would he speak to you?
English.
What would he speak to you today? That which Paul spoke to you. He would do the will of God the Father. You understand? But I suspect if you want to know what angels, how they sounded, You remember when Paul got saved, there were some people with him. They didn't understand what was being said. They heard of it. But they didn't understand, you know why? The Lord was talking to Paul through an angel in the Hebrew tongue. I suspect if you studied, and you can do this on your own sometime, Revelation chapter 10, you can find out what happened over there in Revelation 10. There's seven thunders thundered, and John started to write what they said. John understood those angels. I suspect Paul did. I suspect Moses did back here in the burning bush. I just let you study the angels talk. I'm not doing that this morning. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Y'all know what the word charity means according to the English dictionary? It means love. Well, that's one of the hardest things. That's why I read Isaiah 55 verse 8. My ways are not your ways. What are God's ways toward man today? What is God's word toward man today? Wouldn't it be love? Did God so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Was God in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto Him? Beloved, that took greater love than I can understand. I can't do justice to the love that God had for somebody as crude and sore as I am. Still am. But you know what? God ain't never stopped loving me. There's a many a time that God, if He thought like men did, He'd have quit loving me. But does God quit loving you because you do something wrong? This little child in here, if it ever got a spanking, I don't know it, but anyway, sometimes it probably needed one. But if you spanked it, does that mean you quit loving it? No. God chastens us sometimes, but does that mean that His love stops? Well, you know what? I believe an unforgiving spirit is not of God. I believe an unforgiving spirit is of the devil. Now listen to me. In chapter 13 here, the word charity shows up 9 times in this one chapter right here. And it ain't but 13 verses in this one chapter. Now let me show you why I say that I believe an unforgiving spirit is of the devil, not of God. God is love. God ain't hate. You understand? My ways are not your ways. You know why? We hate one another. I remember something Jim, me and Wanda and Jim was talking here one morning several weeks ago, and Jim said, you know, if we all kill one another, all these wars we're having, and if we kill one another, it would come down to there wasn't but two people left, then one of them would kill the other like Cain did Abel. Do we love one another? No, we don't love one another. Should we?
Yes.
Certainly we should. Should we have a forgiving spirit? If I do something wrong to you, should you forgive me? You remember Jesus Christ was asked the question, how many, by Peter himself, said, Lord, how many times I got to forgive my brother? Till 7 times 7? You know what Jesus Christ told him? Not 7 times 7, Peter, but 70 times 7 in one day. Said, if he offend me that many times in one day, you got to, if he come and ask you to forgiveness, you got to forgive him. That's God's love. He forgives us. Now, let's show, I'm going to hold 1 Corinthians 13. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 5. Why I say I believe an unforgiving spirit is of the devil. I'm going to show you why I say that. And that's one of the hardest things in the world. We hold grudges to death.
Yeah.
I mean, we do. Even against our own flesh and blood. And y'all remember what 1 John chapter 4, I believe it's verse 20. I'd have to look it up. If, anyway, it's in 1 John. And the writer said, how can you love God whom you've seen and hate your brother? I mean, whom you've not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen. You know, people say, well, I love God and I love his son. I believe his son died for me and paid for all my sins. And there's my brother over there and I can't stand him. I hate him. And the question is asked, how can you do that? You know what's in the same context? God is love. God ain't hate. It ain't. The hate comes from the devil. It comes out in our flesh. That old sore flesh that we were born with. That's why Jesus Christ didn't hate his enemies. You know what Paul told us in the book of Romans? If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he hunger and thirst, give him water to drink. Why? For so doing you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Someday it's going to be brought up to us. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not really mourned, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. In other words, the man committed fornication in the flesh. This ain't a spiritual thing. This is a fleshly thing. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now let me show you what Paul... The reason I'm telling you is that I believe an unforgiving spirit is of Satan. And I believe that spirit dwells in all of us. I mean, we got the Spirit of God in us, ain't we? But I know in Galatians chapter 5 that the Spirit lusts against the flesh and flesh against the Spirit. They're contrary one to the other, so you can't do the things that you would. Sometimes I can't love my neighbors because they don't do like I would do. And that's our problem. We want everybody to do like I do. And that's our problem. What should we do? We should think on what God would have us to do, not on what we want to do. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment. That's the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that he's writing about. He wrote him a letter and it made him sore. But Paul said, I'm not sorry that I wrote you the letter, but I'm, in other words, he said this is sufficient for you. Look at verse 6. Sufficient to such a man. What was the punishment? What was the punishment Paul told them people to do? To deliver such a one to Satan that the flesh may be destroyed, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. You understand? He's talking about a saved man that committed fornication. I hope y'all understand what's going on here this morning. It takes It takes a good spiritual mind to see this thing here. Now, verse 7. So that contrarywise, in other words, contrary to delivering up to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, there's something better you should have did. Now watch what he says there. You know this, some of my neighbors I'd like to shoot on sight. But contrarywise. Verse 7. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him. Forgive him? I bet you ain't understanding why Paul says to forgive him. Hold your place here and go to Ephesians chapter 4 in case you think this ain't dispensational truth for today. Somebody might say, well, you back there to those who first trusted in Christ. Well, let's look about us over there. We can find this same thing in Ephesians chapter 4. It's there. It ain't hard to see. In Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 27. I'll get it right in a minute. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Well, can you give place to the devil? Well, certainly we do every day, most of them, but I do. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now he did not say, give to him that's in the church the body of Christ that needeth, did he? Did he distinguish who to give it to? Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And boy, you talk about something hard to do. That's hard to follow. If you think it ain't, you just let somebody cross paths with you and see how grit your teeth and boil your fist up. Verse 32. Here's the quick answer to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are we forgiven?
Yeah.
Well, what should we do? Why? You know, truth hurts. Truth hurts. Especially when you see yourself guilty. And I'm guilty. I don't know whether you are or not. If you are, let it wear the... You know what they say? If the shoe fits, wear it. Well, it fit my feet. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look what Paul said they had rather have done instead of delivering him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And you're going to find out that this unforgiving spirit is of the devil. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 7. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him. Why? Because we're forgiven. Why are we forgiven? Because we deserved it? We're forgiven for Christ's sake. Well, did God forgive that man that committed fornication? The same God that forgive me of everything I did and trespassed against God? Verse 7, so that contrarywise y'all rather forgive him than to comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You know, you go into a place and people don't recognize you and they say, well, there's something wrong here. They don't love me like I love them. Well, how do you know how they love you or vice versa? How should we love people today? The way God did. Just like they are. I remember Arliss Langy And I, back then, before I started studying this earnestly, I did not understand her attitude about people. Now, she would tell us, you just got to accept this person just like they are. And uh-uh, not me. Uh-uh. But should we?
Yeah.
You see, I used to think about when I watch these missionaries that go down to these islands down there, and then people running around buck naked, all of them, men, women, children, and all. And instead of going down there and teaching them the gospel of Christ, you know what they did? They went down there and tried to put clothes on them.
Yeah.
Why? Adam and Eve didn't have no clothes on until they sinned. You see, we inherited a terrible nature about us. And I'm the world's worst. Paul didn't know nothing about being terrible. He never knew me. Now, he wrote some things to me that's hard to get a grip on. This is hard to get a grip on as a human. Because we don't think like God does. Verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Did they confirm his love toward them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? No, they delivered him to Satan. Just take him, tear his hide off of him. Satan, here he is. He's committed fornication. And y'all know what Romans 2 says about all that? That you judge somebody else and does the same thing, you think you're going to escape the judgment of God. We're all going to stand in judgment someday, beloved. Not for just one little verse in the Bible. All Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. Now, it's not all written to us, but it's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Is God righteous?
Yeah.
Well, he ain't unrighteous, is he? Well, unrighteousness is of the devil. Is God love? Is God hate? God ain't hate. God is love. Now watch what he says. Verse 9. For to this end also did I write, that I may know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Well, what is the obedience in the context there? You ought to rather love him. Do we? No, we don't do that. Verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it where? In the person of Christ. Did Jesus Christ say on the cap when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And that's the people that nailed him to the cross. They spit on him, pulled his beard out, tore his back up with a cat of nine tails. They buffeted him, they blindfolded him and hit him with their fist and said, prophesy, who hit you? And they said, if you be the king, even after he's on the cross, they said, if you be the king, the son of Almighty God, get down off of that cross and save yourself. If he'd have did that, me and you went to hell. We'd have had no way to get to God. He took the reproaches of us, fell on him. Do we let the reproaches of our neighbors fall on us? Nah, pick it up and shove it back in their own yard. That's our attitude. It is. That's our attitude. Verse 11. Look what he says. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What is Satan's device? Hate one another. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Might as well go ahead and take 2 Corinthians chapter 12 while you're at it. It's right there by Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now listen, I'm preaching to myself, not you. I know you, that shoe fits my foot. And I'm guilty of that stuff. And you know what? It'd be better not to have known than to have known and not comply with it. In other words, God has showed us something, and it's going to come up at the judgment seat. If you're guilty of it, you're going to receive it at the judgment seat. So once you see it, you better try. And that's hard. This is hard. It's the hardest thing in the world for us to see the love that God has for us. Oh, we got compassion for different people and love for different people that like us. But if they don't like you, do you love them? I don't. I'm guilty. I stand guilty. So what I need to do, I need to line up with the truth. Don't we? Yeah. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Do I become people's enemy because I try to show them the love that God has for all mankind, not just for me and you and us in this class that claim to trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? God loves those out there that hates Him. And we can't understand that. I do not understand it. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't understand that type of love. I understand the love that a human sees, but I don't understand the love that God sees. Give up His Son from glory, all of stuff He had, and send Him down here knowing the persecution and the ridicule and the jokes and the... I was watching... Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. I was watching History Channel the other day, and they were studying the Red Sea. They ain't figured out yet if they'd go to Exodus, God would show them in Numbers, God would show them how He congealed the Red Sea, and y'all know what congeal means, don't you? You especially if you make Jell-O. You make Jell-O and mix it all up, it'll pour out like water. But you let it set up in the refrigerator and it congeals, then you can take a knife and cut it or slice out the middle and both sides just stand there. That's congeal. That's what God did to the Red Sea when the children of Israel went through that thing on dry ground. And the Pharaoh's army, after Israel got through, went down in there, and the angels of God took the chariot wheels off, and the water drowned every one of them. And they are still trying to figure out how that happened on the History Channel. They're spending millions of dollars trying to figure out how that happened. And all they got to do, power of Almighty God. Angel of God. But you know what? They don't believe this book. They don't believe. We got to believe it.
Well, they're trying to prove it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's all they're doing. Just like Noah and the ark. Yeah. I watched them in that, and the dumb old scientist said, if Noah took all them people, all them animals in that ark, he'd have needed a fleet of ships. Yeah. No, God prepared it. Just like they don't believe that Jonah was in the belly of a whale. They say a whale can't swallow a man. His throat ain't big enough. But there's a word in that situation there, God prepared. Well, God prepared His Son to be death for us, to pay for our sins. Now that's love. That is. I don't know of a mama in here that would give up their child to die for somebody that spit on them and cried against them and ridiculed them and said, there ain't no God in heaven. That said, I'm a devil worshiper. God died for them. Now that's love. And we don't understand it. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You think Paul didn't understand not being loved by a bunch of people?
Yeah.
And you know what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4? All men forsook me. And you know what he said? I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He didn't say, you dead-blamed, low-down buzzer, you're going to get what you deserve someday and all. He prayed to God that it wouldn't be laid to their charge. Now, we wouldn't do that, would we? Nah. I didn't. Lord, get that dude out of my way, would you? Cut his head off or something. Let that tree fall on him or something. That'd be our attitude. Verse 16, be it so. In other words, whether they love Paul or not, he said, be it so. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with God. Now, let's look at some things. And I do not, listen to me, I do not want you to think for one second that I believe that we got to love. And it's hard to say this, put this in words. We got to forgive people bad doctrine. I'll put it that way. You understand? Doctrine is one thing. The love of Christ for mankind is something else. God don't like false doctrine. You can find that out in the Old Testament. When Israel got out of land with God, God sold them into bondage back there. Made them work hard. They were slaves. There was years back here that God didn't count time with Israel. You can find that in Judges especially. So I don't believe Paul saying that we to forgive men of false doctrine. Let me show you why I say that. Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. He's talking about a bishop here. Verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Well, how do you stop them? By sound doctrine. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a poet, a prophet of their own, saith, the Grecians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bedders. This witness is true. Wherefore, forgive them and love them that they may be sound in the faith. No. What did he say? Rebuke them how? Sharply. You know why he says that? Because of the love he has for them. He wants them to see the truth and come out from among the snares of the devil. You understand? That's why Paul told Timothy, take heed to your doctrine. For in doing so, you shall save yourself and them that hear you. Save themselves from what? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 said, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So what do? You teach them the truth that they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now, verse 13 again, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure, all things of pure. You see, I don't believe Paul tells me to forgive a man for his false doctrine. You understand? Now, I got to love him for Christ's sake, but for his doctrine, I need to rebuke him and teach him the truth. But you still love him. For Christ's sake, you got a quarrel against one? Forgive him. Why? Because I am forgiven. Now, I understand that. But I can't understand how God could turn his back on his son at Calvary when Jesus Christ said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why he forsook him? For me. Now, what little could I do besides teach the love of Christ toward mankind? Now, in verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and to every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And he tells you what to do down there. Verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say unto you. So what do we need to do? We need to teach truth of the doctrine. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Well, I believe Paul's concerned in the last letters that he wrote are more about doctrine than anything else. He stresses it over and over and over. Sound doctrine, sound doctrine. My doctrine, the doctrine that you learned to me, knowing whom you got it from. Now, watch what he says. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. And boy, that's going on rampant nowadays. Men are putting things out yonder that all it does is stir up a hornet's nest. And I've talked to some of these people that get on this computer and then they argue back and forth, and all it is my argument against your argument, and never come to an agreement. Why waste time? Why waste time with it? I don't fool with it. Some of them ask me to get on there and debate, but I don't debate. Ain't nothing to debate. All you gotta do is believe the verse means what it says. Just means what it says. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity. Well, charity is what? Yes. Love. End of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. Boy, you talk about vain jangling. You listen to some. I talked to some of them in Brent Goin. Y'all know him. He stays on the computer and he argues with everybody that gets on there. And they never, ever get through arguing. You just finally quit and next day you start all over again. Oh. Boy, that's something, ain't it? Verse 6, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whether they affirm, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Is the law good? Does the law show us good things? You know what the law did? It brought death. It brought a curse to Jesus Christ. But through that death, it brought God's love toward us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet ungodly, low-down, sorry sinners. Now, one last thing. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That may not be my last thing. I may have done live again. But go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I've done live again. Go to chapter 1. I don't want 2 Thessalonians 2. I want 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1. I'll give you a minute to get there. Verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Well, does these Thessalonians love one another here? The charity, that's what it is. You know, I'm bad to lie, so let's go on to 1 John and let's look at something. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Now, I know 1 John ain't written to me, but I know by what we read, it's written for me, for understanding. So if I try to understand the love of God and see it through His eyes, I got to check out what He says about charity and love. So let's do it here. In 1 John chapter 4, and He's telling them to not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, is a hatred attitude, an unforgiving attitude of God? Yes. Not from what I've seen. So it must be from something else then, ain't it? Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through in Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Boy, that's kind of strong, ain't it? How are you going to measure up? I don't know if I can. I doubt I can. So I'll just have to face it at the judgment seat. Because it will come up at the judgment seat. And that's sad. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and I will quit here. Ephesians chapter 2. Now maybe this will help us a tad about the love of God toward man. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did He quicken us after we confessed our sins, or while we were yet dead? Yeah. While we were yet dead in sins. In other words, we deserved the wrath of Almighty God. But that wrath reproaches, that's why we read in Corinthians, reproaches of them fell on me, on Christ. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Well, if we're disobedient to the word of God, whose spirit is causing that? Spirit of Satan. You understand? Now, verse 3. Among whom also we all had a conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, whereby He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And I can't understand that other than all I know is when Jesus Christ was crucified, they put His body in the tomb, His spirit went down into the heart of the earth. God forgave him of my sins. 3 days later, He came back up, and God proved to us that through the resurrection of Christ, all our sins were forgiven. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. According to Ephesians 1:20, through the blood of His cross, He made peace with the world. Is the world at peace with God? No. God's at peace with the world. But the world ain't been all reconciled to God. So what do we need to do? We need to teach the love that God had for mankind, just like you are. The old wine old with the sack leaning down by the building thinking he's hiding, drinking the hooch. Did God die for him? Sure did. Men, you'd like to kick him out of misery, get him out of, you know. Well, what shall our attitude be? God loved him. God's love. Hate is of the devil. Boy, we're full of it. Appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see you. Lord willing, we'll be back next Sunday.